Hello, this is Chatterbox, the talking news for Norwich. Welcome to edition number 2009, recorded on Thursday, the 10th of May, 2018. I am Ian Robertson, and I'm joined by
Paddy Watkins.
We have the usual batch of news items about the city for you today, and some letters to the evening news, and in this part, a feature from Derek James about a part of Norwich's past. Then on to the second memory stick, you can stay listening to this month's Norfolk Magazine. We'll remind you about this again at the close of our recording. Today, we welcome new listeners, Mrs. Mabel O'Donnell, also known as Teddy of Dereham, Mrs. Betty Chaplin of Thorpe St. Andrew, and Ken Bradford of Heatherset. Welcome to you all, and we hope you enjoy listening.
The sunny May Bank Holiday Monday weather officially broke records. The Met Office confirmed that West London's recorded temperature of 28.7 Celsius, that's 83.6 Fahrenheit, was the highest since the holiday was introduced in 1978. The hottest early May bank holiday weekend was in 1995, when temperatures hit 28.6 degrees on the Saturday. In Norfolk, temperatures soared to 26 degrees in Norwich, while in Suffolk, Sandton Downham was the East Anglian hotspot, peaking at 27 degrees. And while forecasters warned of high UV and pollen levels for the region, its tourist attractions, parks and beaches welcomed bumper numbers. In Norwich, families and dog owners flocked to Eaton Park to soak up the sun, while others escaped to the coast in search of cooler weather, such as in Cromer, where temperature peaked just above 17 degrees. Businesses also saw the benefit from the glorious weather. Simon Eady, 65, of Norwich, founder, director and co-owner of Ronaldo's Ice Cream, estimated that 20,000 Ronaldo's ice creams were eaten in one day. He said, "I started at 5 a.m. and all of the staff were here by 7 a.m. It's been phenomenally busy. I don't think I can recall a bank holiday like it, and I've been an ice cream man since 1983. It's definitely the busiest bank holiday we've ever had."
Drivers will face major disruption later this month when a key roundabout on Norwich's busy ring road is closed in all direction for at least 5 days. The Dereham Road, Sweetbriar Road roundabout will be shut from Monday, May the 28th, during half-term week, so the revamped roundabout can be resurfaced. It will mean traffic will not be able to cross the roundabout, affecting tens of thousands of motorists who use the Ring Road and Dereham Road. Council bosses have acknowledged the closure will be disruptive and frustrating, but that doing the work over the half term, when the roads tend to be less busy, was the best option. Diversions will be put in place via roads such as the Broadland Northway, Earlham Road, Boundary Road, Larkman Lane, Beauthorpe Road and the Southern Bypass. As well as causing disruption for drivers, bus services will be affected. First bus services numbers 21, 22, 23 and 23A, 24 and 24A and number 26 will be diverted, while Connect Bus 5 will not run between Larkman Lane and where the Earl of Leicester pub used to be on Dereham Road. The work will mark the end of a 9-month project to build a new roundabout as part of the Transport for Norwich scheme. Transport bosses say that it will improve journey time and reliability for all traffic.
Norfolk and Norwich Festival will be kicking off in style, with a free opening spectacle to which everyone is invited. Our fine city is set to be turned into a fantastical open-air opera house for the evening, as carnivalesque drummers and larger-than-life singing dolls greet festival-goers at Cathedral Close and lead them through the city. The performers from French company Trans Express describe themselves as inventors of imagination, and they will take everyone a weird and wonderful journey before the crowds are entreated to an astonishing aerial finale. The elaborate promenade performance is the official launch of this year's Norfolk and Norwich Festival, which is once again bringing 17 days packed full of music, theatre, art and more to the city and the county. The whole show will last about 15 minutes and include a 20-minute aerial finale. The procession route will not be revealed ahead of the event, but it will cover about half a mile of the city's streets.
The lineup for Norwich's popular Lord Mayor's Celebration weekend has been announced, and the Summer of Fun will continue the following weekend, when a circus spectacular comes to the city. Thousands of people take to the streets of Norwich to take part in the Lord Mayor's celebrations each year, with this year's event running from Friday the 6th of July to Sunday the 8th of July. The Lord Mayor's procession, when colourful floats and characters parade through the city centre streets, will take place on Saturday the 7th of July and will have a circus theme. The 2018 procession theme ties in with the fact that Norwich, along with Great Yarmouth, is one of the six cities of circus that will this year be the focus of Circus 250 anniversary celebrations. As well as the procession, events include a parade of puppet elephants, the Gas Hill Gasp, where cyclists pound up the city's Seepers Hill, the Lord Mayor's 5K road race, music, theatre, comedy, food and fireworks. And the weekend after the Lord Mayor's celebrations, a city park will play host to the Chapelfield Summer Circus from Thursday, July the 12th to Sunday, July the 15th. Chapelfield Gardens will be the venue for events organised by the Norwich-based Lost in Translation Circus. They will present a big top-style tent with hand-picked selection of international contemporary circus shows, all appearing in Norwich for the very first time.
They are often the unsung heroes who inspire some of the fine city's greatest minds and help make their university one of the best in the country. And now workers at the University of East Anglia have been honoured for their efforts by the very students who they are there to teach. UEA's Students' Union organised the Transforming Education Awards to honour those who helped to make the university one of the UK's leading places to study. The awards consisted of 13 categories, including Advisor of the Year, Advocate for Students and Support Staff Member of the Year, as well as two teaching awards which identify innovative and inspiring teaching. All of the winners were decided by a student panel who sifted through around 450 nominations.
Now we'll turn to some of this week's letters to the Evening News. A mixed postbag, as always. We'll start with Paul Milner of Sheringham, who recommends that we embrace change rather than being suspicious of it. He says, "More negative letters about the proposed Anglia Square development. This paper reports it will include 1,250 new homes, a 25-storey tower block, dozens of new shops, a 200-bed hotel, and a 600-space new car park, pedestrian areas, and will include a minimum of 120 affordable homes. What's not to like? OK, some folk are afeared of the tower block. Will it be 25 stories or maybe even 26? Tower blocks, or rather skyscrapers, are loved throughout the Western world, in cities both old and new, where they are taken as a sign of wealth and prosperity. But maybe not in Norwich. Perhaps we like things to stay the way they've always been. Except remember, things have never always been. Change is what makes life interesting and exciting. Whatever next, the anonymous they will soon be demanding a dual carriageway all the way to the city. Oops, they've already done that. The end is nigh."
In contrast, Stephen Mackinder of Denver says we should not be forced to change the words we choose to use. Liz Nice writes in the Tuesday opinion column of her frustration with the current obsession with the limp-wristed world of political correctness and our increasing fear of saying the wrong thing in public or private. Using the words limp-wristed opens me up to massive levels of criticism, I know, and I'm aware of this, but that particular dated cliché represents the kind of minefield people like me are now tiptoeing through. Can I say coloured anymore? I'm mystified by the current buzzword phrase, which is people of colour. Do brown people fit into this category? Can I no longer say black these days? What is wrong with handicapped as opposed to disabled? If you have dyslexia, are you disabled, or do you just have reading challenges? I'm fed up with picking a path through people who are obviously looking to be offended or looking to correct those of us who are usually trying to be nice and show some empathy with those around us. I like Lizzie's attitude and support her indignant stance, and would urge everyone to stop being so desperately careful with our great British language and use it robustly and energetically in all situations.
Words were the tools of Adrian Bell, the writer, and John Ford of Caxton reminds readers that a blue plaque in his memory appears in Beccles, a plaque, it seems, was forgotten in a recent Evening News article. Regarding the article on blue plaques, I don't doubt that many of your readers will join us to express surprise and disappointment that there is no mention of the plaque in Beccles paying tribute to Adrian Bell. An outstanding East Anglian writer, he produced over 20 books. His other work appeared in a variety of publications, and his Countryman Notebook was a popular feature of each Saturday's EDP for over 30 years. Their popularity was such that they were reprinted years after his death, and indeed would bear doing so again. Add the fact that he created the very first Times crossword in 1939, followed with over 4,500 others in the following 50 years, and the justification of his blue plaque is fully justified. Need we say more?
Following on from the lovely weather, Myra Hawtree of Sprowston says, let's be grateful for Eaton Park. As she writes, on May Day Monday, the Walking for Health walk was at Eaton Park. It was great to see so many families in the park in the sunshine, in the children's play area and playing crazy golf and tennis. Many others were having picnics on the grass where there's plenty of space for ball games and healthy running around, which costs nothing. The flower beds had been weeded and there were rhododendrons and azaleas in bloom. The miniature railway had a fundraising event for EHCH each, her charity, and the cafe was buzzing. All in all, everyone was having fun. Nationally, there is a campaign to save our public parks, and we should be glad that in these days of budget cuts to so many services, the City Council still maintains Eaton Park, Waterloo Park, and others in the city for residents' enjoyment.
A final tongue-in-cheek word from Anthony Hansel of Norwich regarding reports of Donald Trump's various views. As London is so dangerous, according to Donald Trump, perhaps in the interests of his safety, he could do us all a favour and stay at home and cancel his proposed visit.